We invite you to open your Bibles, please, to 1 Samuel, and we'll be looking at chapters 15 and 16 and 17, and that's today and tonight. You're just getting part one this morning. And if I say I was going to preach about David, you'd say, oh, and Goliath, right? That's the whole story as far as some people are concerned. That is not the whole story. We were going to get a little bit in David and Goliath tonight, but this morning we're going to talk about David. And this morning we're going to talk about King Saul, and we're going to be talking about Samuel. Some people, Samuel, who is that? Samuel was a prophet. Samuel was also a judge. Now we think of a judge in our terminology, we think of somebody who sits in a courtroom presiding over a court. Well, Samuel was more than that. He was a ruler of the entire nation of Israel. They were a group of judges who ruled a nation before they ever had a king. And when they had a first king, he had to be anointed. He had to be anointed by God's man who was a prophet who happened to be Samuel. The first king was King Saul. And so I want to put this in perspective. We know the first king was King Saul. The second king was King David. He also was anointed by Samuel. Samuel's a very important man. And you're going to see Samuel coming up again and again in this morning's message and again tonight. How God used him in the shaping of the nation of Israel and the history right on down to our day today. He not only was the anointer of the king, but he was the advisor to the king. When Saul became king, Samuel was his right-hand man. He was the advisor. He's the one that gave God's word to King Saul. All God, Saul had to do was to listen to Samuel, and he'd hear from God. And if he did what Samuel told him, everything was fine. Well, it's kind of like us. When we hear from God and we do what God tells us, everything's fine. Well, it kind of worked that way for Saul for a while, but after a while he did not obey God. As a matter of fact, in an earlier chapter it talks about how God had sent him, Saul and his army, to go destroy the Amalekites, the entire nation, everybody. Said right down to the last person, down to their animals, everything, destroy them all. Saul thought that was a good idea, so he did, except the king, he captured him, didn't kill him, he should have, he didn't kill him, and he captured all the flocks and the animals and brought them back. And they said, the people said, we've got new flocks now, we've got more sheep than we ever had before, more goats than we ever had before. But God didn't tell him to do that, he should kill them. God withdrew his blessings. And so here we find in Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15. I hope you found that by now. And look at verse 26. And it says, and Samuel said unto Saul, I will not return to thee. I'm not going to come back and advise you anymore. For thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And the Lord hath rejected thee from being king. Wow. Saul's days of being king were over. Why? He had rejected the word of the Lord. God had told him what to do and he rejected it. Listen to me. We get into trouble for the same reasons. God gives us a word. He gives us instruction. You say, when did God speak to me? The first time you picked up your Bible, if you opened it, if you read it, God was speaking to you. That's how he speaks to us today many, many times, just by simply reading his word. But if we read his word and we say, no, I'm not going to do it that way, we're in for heading for trouble. As it was with King Saul, his days of being king was over because it said, the Lord hath rejected thee. Wow. How would you like to be king one day and knowing your days are over because you messed up one time? You didn't listen to God. You didn't obey him. You could have. And if you go back and read the verses where all that took place, you find out Saul said, well, I did what I was supposed to, but it was the people. They're the ones that did wrong. Don't blame me. Well, yeah, they did wrong, but he did too. So he paid the price. We need to remember something. As we're trying to bring this into modern day times, if we look at Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, he changes the times and the seasons. God's in charge of that. And he removeth kings and setteth up kings. Listen to that carefully. We fuss and we carry on about who our leaders are, who we vote for, who's in office. Can I tell you, we've never had a president in the United States that God did not allow that individual to be there.
Yes.
God's in charge. He's in control. That's he right. sets up kings and he takes down kings. He takes them out of office and puts them into office. Presidents, kings, doesn't matter what. God is in charge of this planet. He's in charge of every nation. And not that we all follow him and we're godly people, because we're not. History shows us that. But God is in control. And a man who does not obey God's word is not fit to rule God's people.
Amen.
That's what the lesson is with Saul. That's true then. It's true now. It's true for Israel. It's true for us. The only way to govern right is to be obedient to God's word. Any president we have ever had who has ignored the word of God has brought our nation down, down, down. But when we've had people in office, and I'm thinking of president, but we know our nation is not just run by one man. You know, we've got Congress and everything else. But when we've had godly people in those places, making the laws, telling us how we should live, listening to God's word, being obedient to God, our nation has been blessed. But when we got rid of those folks, and we got some others in there, what happened to our country? Our history shows it over and over again. The only way to govern right is to be obedient to the word of God. And when those are that are in authority obey God, they lead the people to obey God. And when the people obey God, God blesses the people. So when we don't obey the Lord, we don't enjoy his blessings. I think America needs to learn this. Maybe you do too. Maybe you're saying, oh, look at the southern border. And I say, oh my goodness, what's going on there? Have we been listening to God and how we've lived? Have we paid attention to the Bible the last 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years? No, we haven't. We've gotten farther and farther away from the word of God. And we can see now why that's just one little tiny item, although it's a big item. See, like Saul, we've rejected God's word. We have rebelled against him, and we're paying a price.
Amen.
That's how it is. God is not to be trifled with. He is in control. So we need to elect God-fearing, God-obeying leaders, Bible believers, Bible obeyers. That's the kind of people we need in all of our offices at every level. And we as a nation, as a people, need to turn back to God and just repent. Wouldn't you love to see a great revival? If people come back, trust God, and obey God, it just might happen. We need to live our lives according to his holy word. If we don't, God may remove his hand of protection that he has had over this country all these many years about being invaded by foreign people. I think we're close. I think we're real close. I don't want to be negative sounding. That's just my personal opinion. We would receive his judgment rather than his blessings if we don't repent. Let's get back to Samuel. Back to the 16th chapter, go to the 14th verse. It says, but the Spirit of the Lord departed Saul. Remember, Saul had rejected God's word, and so God had rejected him from being king. And the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. The Spirit of the Lord had guided Saul, had protected Saul, and had blessed Saul. And notice in my Bible, I guess in your Bible too, the word Spirit there is capitalized, right? That's God's Holy Spirit. That's just a spirit of God's Spirit departed from Saul, and an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. A great change took place in Saul's life. Prior to this point in time, he was listening to the Lord. He was being obedient to the Lord, and the Holy Spirit of God was blessing him with wisdom, blessing him with all kinds of things, great successes. But then he left. He departed. And when he had departed, God allowed an evil spirit. It sounds like a spirit of depression to come upon the King Saul with a purpose. God had a reason for this to happen. You say, wait a minute. An evil spirit from the Lord? Yes. Even evil spirits obey God. They are commanded by him. If God tells a demon to do something, that demon must do it. And he chose a particular demon, a particular evil spirit, to attack Saul. And so he did. He said, I don't think God could do evil. God doesn't do evil, but he allows evil sometimes to carry out his own purpose. And so their spirit came on King Saul with a purpose. He was God's anointed. Now understand, Satan hated King Saul as God's anointed. Satan hates all anointed kings. Satan hates all anointed preachers, all anointed servants, all of God's anointed family, his children, all of us. Satan hates us, and his demons are always ready to attack us, but they can only do it with God's permission. If God guards us and protects us with his Holy Spirit, it's not going to happen. But if God lifts his hand and gives permission for us to be attacked, it will happen. Just read the book of Job. God had protected Job. But at one point in time, he said, no, go ahead. Attack my servant. You know, many people experience demonic attacks that don't even realize what it is. I mean, we don't always analyze. And I'm not saying everything goes wrong in your life. It's demonic. I'm not about to say that by any means. But sometimes there may be demonic attacks of depression or other things, not realizing what they are. If the attack is of a spiritual nature, if the problem is of a spiritual nature, medication will not cure it. Meditation will not cure it. If it's of a spiritual nature, counseling will not cure it. Good intentions will not cure it if it's of a spiritual nature. Positive thinking won't cure it either. Only the power of God can defeat the enemy and cure the problem.
That's right.
Oh, how many times have we heard somebody have something tragic happen in their lives and the response from other people who care about them says, you're in my thoughts, brother. Whoopee-doo. I'm sorry. I care about you. You're in my thoughts, but my thoughts are not going to do you a bit of good. Prayer, now that's different. You're in my thoughts, in my prayers. If I'm praying for you, that's going to get something accomplished. So all these other good intentions, power, positive thinking, all those things are not going to solve the problem, but prayer will. So when we experience satanic attacks of any nature, it's not, Christian, it is not because the Spirit has departed us like he left Saul. The Holy Spirit will never leave one of God's children. So don't just assume if somebody has things going wrong in their life and the devil's attacking them, man, the Holy Spirit must have withdrawn just like he did Saul. No, no, no. We're not like Saul. We're God's children. The Holy Spirit never leaves one of God's children. But God can remove his divine protection and the enemy can get through. And if he does, it's for a purpose. God has a purpose for having us to suffer sometimes, to go through some hard times sometimes. Even though we're his children, even though he loves us enough to sacrifice his own son on the cross for us, he loves us enough to allow us to go through some tough times for our good and maybe for the good of somebody else who's watching our lives. Maybe it's for a testimony that we can give to somebody else saying, yeah, I went through the same type of thing, but you know God was with me. God got me through that. I see what's happening to you, and it touches my heart and hurts me to see you going through that. But let me tell you something. I want to encourage you. God loves you. God loved me. He got me through the same type of thing. By going through this, it's a blessing to somebody else. So just because as a Christian we have bad things happen to us, it doesn't mean God has abandoned us. He hasn't. He's just using us to relay the message of how great and wonderful, powerful God that he is. It's a purpose. Well, what was the purpose in King Saul having this demonic oppression that he was having, that it sounded like it was some sort of a possession or whatever it might have been? We're not certain. What was it? It was so he could meet David. What are the chances that a king would meet a shepherd boy? I mean, there's a lot of shepherds. There's a lot of sheep. But what was the chances he would meet David? See, in God's plan, he had to use an evil spirit to get Saul's attention to say, oh, I got to have some relief. The only thing that'll ease me and give me peace of mind going through the stuff that I'm going through right now is there's somebody to play a harp. I love harp music. If I get that beautiful harp being played, somebody could play the right songs on the harp, I can make it through this. And so one of his servants said, hey, I know somebody. Isn't this amazing? Here he is. He's in Jerusalem. David's out of Bethlehem. Not even close. Oh, I know by today's highway miles, that's close. But walking with sheep and them way out, no, it wasn't close. But here's the servant said, well, I know somebody. See, God was setting the stage for David to be introduced to him and play his harp for him and to minister to him to the point that the Bible says that Saul loved David. He came to love this young man. He loved him. He was such a fine young man. And what else? God was setting the stage for a relationship that would lead to David's killing Goliath, leading the army of the Israelites against the Philistines in more than one battle, in many battles, and slaughtering many of the enemy, becoming to where he was the head of the army of the Israelites. He was the people's fair-haired boy. This little shepherd boy started off that. And all because God allowed this evil spirit to come on Saul and he had fits of depression that only a harp played right would fix it. Look at 1 Samuel 16 and 18. Then answered one of the servants, doesn't tell us which one. I'd love to know his name. I'd like to meet this guy. He said, behold, O king, hey, king, I've seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing. In other words, he's skilled in playing and a mighty valiant man and a man of war and prudent in matters. In other words, he's wise and making kind of decisions and comely person. He's a handsome rascal. And the Lord is with him. Look at those things, the description of David. I'm going to tell you something. This wasn't true yet. He was prophesying some in the future because he was not a man of war. He hadn't fought in any battles at this point in his life. Well, he fought a battle with a lion and a bear, but not with the enemy, not in war. And so that wasn't true for him yet. He was valiant, well, maybe, a man of valor. Yeah, maybe so, we don't know. But he said he was prudent in matters. He had great wisdom. Not yet. Oh, later on, when he became king, he absolutely had great wisdom because God gave it to him. So some of the things that were being said about David were prophetic and not necessarily things that were already true based on his past performance. It was based on his future potential. Look at the things it says. And I'm going to say there's three things that definitely were true. One, he was cunning in playing. He was skilled. He could play a harp. Pretty good reputation. If a guy in Jerusalem could hear about him playing a harp down in Bethlehem and said, man, this kid can play. Okay. We'll give you that. He said he was comely. He was handsome. Well, he must have been because the servant said, I've seen him. He said, oh, he's a handsome young man. He's not the ugliest one in the field. He is a handsome young man. You'll be glad to have him in your court. So that's two. But the most important thing he said about him, the Lord is with him. Whoa, that's it. That's what really matters. These other things, they don't matter that much. They're all secondary. But the Lord is with him. It is evident that this servant would see and be able to know this about David. Somehow he knew the Lord was with David. Something about David's life let the world know the Lord is with him. What about you? What about me? Does people say that about us? Oh, the Lord must be with them. Not if something went right, say, ooh, God protect you. No, I mean how we live every day. Can people look at us and follow us around for a day or two or a week and say, the Lord is with that person. Look how close they are. They're living like God wants them to live. They're talking like God wants them to talk. They've got the right attitude. They're godly people. The Lord is with them. Does that describe you? Or did they say, well, you're talented, you got this talent, maybe you play a harp or something else, or maybe you don't play a musical instrument at all, but you've got talents. Yes, they may say, that's true. This man, this woman, they're talented, they're gifted, they can do these things, and they do them well. Wonderful. But are they wise? Oh yeah, they're wise. We've seen them in operation, they're getting great wisdom. Attractive, bold. But the big question, not to what do they say about your appearance or how you function in wisdom, but is the Lord with you? Nothing matters more than that. We can have all the wisdom. We can have all the skills and all the talents. We can be the best looking person on the town. But if the Lord isn't with us, all that means nothing. David's reputation said, the Lord is with him. The power and the presence of the Lord was the most important thing for David when he went to see Saul. The power and the presence of the Lord allowed David to play that harp beautifully. It was God who directed his fingers to just the right strings, to pluck them in a certain way, to play the right melody that would soothe Saul. The Lord was with him. I'm not saying David didn't have some talent. He did have some talent, but he could have played boogie-woogie when he should have been playing something soft and sweet. I know boogie-woogie hadn't been invented yet, and some of y'all are too young to know what I'm talking about. He chose the right music. God directed him to the right song. God knew what it would take to do the job, and so he enabled him to play the right song. And God's presence was in the room when David played. The Lord was with him. The Lord ministered to Saul through David. It wasn't just a matter that this was beautiful music. The Lord was ministering to Saul through David as he played. The Lord was with him. The power and the presence of the Lord will defeat any evil spirit. And that's what was happening there. In the palace. There was an evil spirit that was being defeated when David played the harp because the Lord was with him. The Lord was defeating the evil spirit. The harp didn't do it. David didn't do it. It was the Lord who was with him that did it. See, it didn't matter which demons Satan sent against Saul. And it doesn't matter which demons Satan sends against you or me or how many. It doesn't matter how they may attack us. You might get knocked down, and you might get wounded in a spiritual battle, but if the Lord is with you, you will not be defeated. Amen. Can't happen. He said, Brother Allen, how can you be so sure of that? God said so. 1 John chapter 4. I love this verse. And the only reason I love this verse is because I'm one of God's. I know it's true for me. I pray that it's true for you too. Look, ye are of God. Little children, you're God's child. You've been born again, right? Amen. Amen. You've been born again. You're God's child. Are you God's child before you're born again? No, you're not. You may be a child, a human being that was created by God in the image of God, but you're God's child when you're born again and you are adopted into His family. All ye are of God, little children. If you've been saved, you've been born again, you're adopted into God's family, and you have overcome them, and if you look back over the preceding verses, you'll see what it means, all the terrible stuff, these demonic spirits, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen. For those that tell you you get saved today and get the Holy Ghost tomorrow, they missed it. Amen. Listen, when you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, say, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. He comes in the presence and the power of His Holy Spirit. Yes. He comes to live within you. And the Holy Spirit is within you is greater than he that is in the world. And that is the enemy who is in the world. Yes. That's how I could simply say the power and presence of the Lord will defeat any evil spirit. It doesn't matter if I get wounded in the battle. It doesn't matter if I get knocked down in the battle. The victory is the Lord's. Yeah. Why? Because the enemy that attacks me cannot overcome the spirit that is living within me. Mm-hmm. Are you? If you're sure you're saved and you're sure you have the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, he who doesn't have the Spirit doesn't belong to the Lord. So if you have the Holy Spirit of God, yes, you do belong to the Lord. And you say, well, what things did he overcome? Keep your place here, but go to Romans with me for just a moment. Romans chapter 8, but don't lose your place. It'll take me a moment to get there too. Romans chapter 8. It says, nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. In all what things? Back up to verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Here's some things that might try to separate us from the Lord and the love of Christ. We won't be separated from his love because we won't be separated from him once we're saved. Shall tribulation, troubles and trials, will that separate us? No. Or distress, or persecution? How about famine, nakedness, or peril, or sword? It says, as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all day long. We're accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We don't lose. The Holy Spirit of God lives within us. Nothing can separate us from the power and love of the Lord. And so no matter how tough the battle gets, we're the victors. So if you've ever called on Jesus to save you and you've been saved, you can expect to be in a battle. You can expect to be attacked because Satan hates you. He hates the spirit that lives within you. He hates what God is doing through you. He hates God. And he can't separate you from God, so his hatred from God is actually going to fall on you and on me, and he's going to attack us every way he possibly can. Some of us, he attacks in ways that he doesn't attack others in. We've got our weak spots, and he knows where to hit me, and he knows where to hit you. He doesn't hit me, but does he hit your family? Tell you what, I've never met a godly preacher in my life that has been in the ministry any length of time that couldn't say the same thing. Boy, Satan attacked my family. He attacked my wife. He attacked my children. Just about the time God was blessed and here you came and we had troubles and trials we never thought we'd ever see. That's how he works. He attacks God's people. We can expect to be attacked. But the Holy Spirit, who lives within us, can defeat the enemy. All of the demons in hell combined cannot defeat the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. So why do we worry? All the devil's after me. Yeah, probably true. Is he going to win? No way. Not if you're a born-again child of God with the Holy Spirit living within you. No. So you can just quit worrying about that and just start praising God. I mean, just start praising his holy presence within you. Start praising him for his power that he has within you to defeat that enemy. Remember what we said about David? The Lord was with him. I don't think David even knew how much power there was within him. The Lord was with him. Oh, we'll find out tonight as we look at the rest of the message this evening, but the Lord was with him. And go back now to where we were in 1 Samuel. Verse 23. And it came to pass, when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, okay, I mean, he was in a fit of depression or whatever it was, that David took a harp and he played with his hand, so Saul was refreshed and was well. And the evil spirit departed from him. Wow. God enabled David to play just the right songs to bring peace to Saul. Why? Why was it important? Because it was all part of God's plan. You see, God sees the end from the beginning. He sees every detail along the way, and he can orchestrate all kinds of things. And a lot of times we can look back in our own lives and say, well, this happened. I didn't realize what was happening then, but now I can look back and say, wow, God was at work doing this and this and this. Some of it I liked, some of it I didn't, but it was God at work to bring me to this point to where I'm really enjoying his blessings And so are some other folks too. This was God's plan. He established that bond between Saul and David. When we're being troubled, God knows exactly what we need. He knew exactly what Saul needed. He needed that harpist. He knows exactly who we need in our lives and who we don't need in our lives. He knew Saul needed David, and so he sent him with a harp. He knows what he needs to do for us to be refreshed and become well. Did you ever need refreshing? Maybe you're going through a time right now. I said, man, I could stand some of that refreshing. Oh, brother, you know it froze at our house last week? Do you know it rained 12 feet at our house last week? Do you know how much? We need some relief. We need to get well and refreshed. And you know how many people in my family are sick? I don't know what's going on in all your homes, but I know a lot of that does happen. Well, not quite that much rain. I sort of exaggerate, see if you're listening. We've got troubles. Sometimes the Lord allows them, so we'll turn to Him and let Him do a great, unusual, mighty work in our lives. Like, that was a great, unusual, mighty work that He did in Saul, when you stop and think about a shepherd boy from Bethlehem playing a harp, coming into the king's palace and playing for him, and God blessed him through it. That's a mighty thing. Only God would do that. And He did. He knew exactly what Saul needed. He knows exactly what you need and exactly what I need. So the big thing I can say to you is two words: trust Him. Amen. Trust Him. When times get tough, trust Him. When times are good, trust Him. When you don't understand where your next step's going to take you, trust Him. He'll provide. Trust Him. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. He has a plan for your family. He has a plan for this church. We just need to trust Him and get in on the plan. Understand, do not lose sight of the fact that we're in a spiritual war. Satan attacks us any way he possibly can. He hates us. Sometimes he'll attack us in our physical health. Yes, he does. Sometimes it's an emotional attack. Maybe it's a depression, like in Saul's case, perhaps. I believe that's what it was. Perhaps it's financially. Perhaps it's family. Perhaps it's in your ministry. Maybe you had a ministry. You say, man, I'm trying so hard to do what's right and be a blessing and do some ministry, and it just collapsed on me. Nobody's listening to the preacher. Nobody's paying attention. Nobody's walking the aisle. Nobody's getting saved. What's happening? Can I tell you from a preacher's standpoint? I don't know. I've had those thoughts. I've had those wonders. I said, Lord, I don't know. I'm preaching the same gospel I've been preaching for over 40 years. And I've seen times when you couldn't get them down the aisle, make room for people responding to the gospel to get saved. And I've seen other times they walk out like, did that preacher say something? Yeah. Same message. Same Jesus, same cross, same resurrection, same God who loves us all. Sometimes people respond, sometimes they don't. And we wonder why. We wonder why. All I can know is that we're in God's plan, trying to be obedient to Him. And Satan attacks us all, no matter who we are. You think he doesn't attack a preacher? Go talk to a few of them. You'll find, oh yeah, he does. I can be honest with you, and I'm a little bit on the envious side, because I know where David is today. On the beach in Miami. Man, doesn't that sound great? It might be raining. I don't know. I don't think so. It wasn't yesterday. I know he was enjoying the sunshine. But sometimes we need to get away. We need to rest. Sometimes the stress and the load gets kind of heavy. That's why we pray for one another so much. Why we need to pray even more. We need to call on the Lord more often than we do. Because Satan and his demons will never stop attacking us. But they will be defeated every time by the power of the Holy Spirit when we call upon the Lord. You say, well, I should like to get in on some of that victory. I've got so much bad stuff going on in my life. Brother Allen, if you knew what was going on in my life with my kids, you would not say those things. Yeah, I would. Are you sure you have the Holy Spirit living within you? You see, that's the starting point. You must have the Holy Spirit, have the Lord with you, like they said about David. They didn't say Holy Spirit, but they did say they had the Lord. Do you have Him living within you? And in order to have the Holy Spirit within you, you've got to be saved. And that means you have to trust Jesus as your Savior and Lord and receive Him. And when we do, we receive His Holy Spirit. Three things that happen. One, sins are forgiven. Not just one or two, but all of them. Every sin you have ever committed or will commit will be totally, completely forgiven the moment you call on Jesus to save you in full faith and trust. He doesn't say, well, I'll save you from these and these and this one. Oh, I didn't know that one was coming. And if I'd have known you were going to do that, I never would have said yes to saving you. That does not happen. He has always known since before the beginning of time exactly how we were going to live our lives, how good we were going to be, and how bad. How much we were going to need Him as our Savior at every point. So no, every sin is forgiven when He forgives our sins. When we call on Him and ask Him to, He said we would. The second thing is our souls are saved. That's the eternal us that's outside, separated from this body. The eternal us is saved from eternal damnation because our sins have been forgiven. And the third thing is Satan is defeated. Look, when we trust the Lord and we receive Jesus as our Savior and Lord, His Holy Spirit comes to live within us, our sins are forgiven, our souls are saved, and Satan is defeated. What more can you ask? And yet some people say, okay, so what? If that's your attitude today, I feel for you. The question is, does the Holy Spirit live in you? You say, well, I don't know, I hope so. Do you think if the Holy Spirit of God was living in you, you would know it? Or you think He could live within you? We're talking about God Himself living in you and you not know it? You see, if He lives in you, there was a moment in time, up to a certain moment in time, that He did not live within you. His presence was not there. But when you trusted Jesus and asked to be saved, He moved in and everything changed. Mm-hmm. That empty spot in your life was no longer empty. He was there. You didn't have to hunt for God. He was there. You didn't have to say, oh, God up in heaven somewhere, I hope you can hear me. No, He was there. There was a moment in time that you were born again into His family. You became one of His children, and He was there. So does the Holy Spirit live in you? Are you trusting Jesus? Basic questions. If you're not certain of the absolute right answer to those questions, I'm going to give you a chance to trust Jesus right now and be saved here this morning before you leave. That's the reason I come to the side of the pulpit like this every time. Get over here and say, here's your chance. You can leave here with Jesus or without Him. It's entirely up to you. You can be saved or you can be lost. Entirely up to you. You can fight your battles against the enemy and be defeated or be victorious with the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's entirely up to you. But you have to decide. What's your decision today? Let's pray. Father, oh God, I thank You that You love us enough not only to forgive our sins and to save us, but You love us enough to place Your Holy Spirit within us to do battle with the enemy. Father, we know that Satan, he hates You terribly. And he hates those that are created in Your image like we are. He hates those that have been born again and become Your children like many of us have. Oh, Father, thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that's not certain that they have been born again, that Your Holy Spirit lives within them, I pray that they'll make it right now, that they'll say, dear God, show me the truth. I need to know if I'm saved or not. I need to know if Your Holy Spirit lives within me or not. Father, show them the truth. As they request it, may they cry out to You right now in faith, please, God, show me. I pray that You'll reveal the truth to them. And Father, for those that the answer might be no, You're not saved. No, My Spirit's not within you. Father, If there's even one person here like that today, give them the faith that it's going to take to cry out, "Dear Jesus, save me. I believe you're God's son. I believe you died on the cross. I believe you rose from the grave. I believe you can save me. I'm asking you to right now." Help them to trust your son completely at this very moment. And may they walk out of this place today knowing that every sin is forgiven. They have eternal life and your Holy Spirit within them. Bless them. Father, for Christians that are struggling, that sometimes we struggle in our own power and our own might, forgetting that your Spirit lives within us to fight the battles. Oh God, help us to come closer to you, to be obedient to you. And Father, if there's somebody here this morning that needs to join this church, bring them. Somebody here that needs to be baptized, bring them. We just want to be obedient to you right now in the closing moments of this service. In Christ's name, amen.